or write. So I have the privilege of launching a new series, which will be a couple of weeks, obviously leading into conference and what we're talking about conference, which is called Healthy Church. And while doing some reading and stuff, there's so much we can say about Healthy Church, but I just want to, obviously launching, we've got the conference coming, where a lot of stuff will be unpacked in that. So I'll just want to highlight a few things that can impact us. Obviously, we've been talking about connection over the last, or connecting over the last few weeks or so, and it's been awesome, because that's one of the fundamental aspects or characters of a healthy church. So let's turn to some scripture, and then we'll pick that. First one is Acts chapter 11 from verse 19. And I just want to see if I can read the back piece or not. Otherwise, the phone works wonders. Acts chapter 11 from verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And then I also want to read Acts chapter 2 from verse 42. This is one of my favorite passages. I probably preached more on this passage than any other, but for me this just carries the heart of what God wants of us. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So those are going to be my two main passages, because I think it's where the church was birthed just after Pentecost, and how the church grew. They had the Spirit and they had each other. And then later on, as the church began to grow and persecution began to happen, the church just got scattered. You know, I'm always fascinated by the Western church fear of persecution. The fear of persecution. And when I look at scripture, I look at it and how the church exploded. I look at China and the incredible thing that happened in the church when they were underground, because they were, persecution was out there. For some reason, when God pushes into where our faith has to be real, when our faith has to be focused and centered on Jesus, and we haven't got all the comforts of our Western world, we haven't got the comforts or whatever, and we begin to get put into situations when all we have is Jesus. It's amazing what happens to the church. The church begins to explode, and the favor of God and the presence of God begins to move across the nations and across where God is, whatever he's doing. And we're seeing that in a lot of the countries where the Muslims are ruling and they got the power. God is breaking out in those nations where the church has to be underground, where the church is being persecuted. All of a sudden, God is beginning to do stuff in those nations. From a couple of things that I read, it's actually amongst the Muslim nation where the church is exploding the most at the moment. Isn't that amazing? We often, you talk about Muslims in a Western context, and I don't want to pick on people, but often in American context, the Muslims are seen as the enemy. I loved what Dean said. The Muslims aren't our enemy. God loves them and calls each person into a relationship, and he desires a relationship with every single person on this planet. They aren't our enemy. We need to be praying for the Jews, every tribe and tongue, for Muslims, for you name it, for people that are lost and don't know Jesus. We must be calling out to Jesus to save them. Okay, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself at the moment. But I'm getting excited. But this thing of healthy church, I think it's a wonderful topic because it helps us just to take a step back from where we are right now. And let's evaluate. And when I talk about church people, I'm not talking about just about the corporate church. I'm talking about each single person involved because we are the church. The people are the church. We have this encounter once a week. We're with our house church once a week. But we are out in our workplaces, in our context of family, relationships outside every single day. And if we're saying, well, the church is not reaching those people, well, then we need to ask, what are we doing? Because each of us as individuals are called to be the church and to need to be focused with Jesus. Wimber always spoke about, you know, we don't just work for God, we work with God. As believers, we need to be people that have our eyes open wherever we are in every single context and saying, what is God doing right now? Who is God touching right now? Because without a doubt, the Spirit is at work in people's hearts and lives. Monica mentioned a person who was just broken and hurting and crying out, I don't know if I'm going to get back. That's a cry of the heart. Crying out to God and saying, God, I want to get back, but I don't know how. And the church, and I'm talking about each of us, need to be open to those situations and seeing, God, what are you saying right now? What is the word? What is the prophetic word? What do you want to say to this person right now? What hope do you want to give to this person now? What strength and encouragement do you want to give to this person right now? And for us to do this as a church, we need to be Christ-centered. We need to be focused on Jesus. We need to be focused on his word. We need to be growing in his word. Dean spoke about that in his word that he sensed as well. Did you read my notes, Brie? Yeah, the Lord read my notes. But it's true. As a church, the first and foremost, we need to understand that we need to be Christ-focused. We can have all the McGafters. We can do all the streaming. We can have the most incredible buildings. And there's nothing. We love what God is doing here. And we build these because we know what God wants to do in our nation and in our city and in this continent and in the world. But if we are not Christ-focused and Christ-centered, then what are we doing? What are we doing? As believers, we need to be so focused on the gospel of Jesus. So focused on what God is saying to us. I remember chatting to a couple of people once, some people, and they said, yo, you know, when I was a new believer, I read everything about Jesus and what Jesus did. But then I've matured, and now I'm on to Paul. And I'm like, what? So I said, don't you read the Gospels? He said, yeah, no, just for preaching and this sort of thing. But when I'm really studying, I study Paul. I'm like, oh, my hat. Who do you think Paul studied? Who do you think the disciples studied? Come on, guys. It's reading the Gospels and focusing, what is Jesus' heart for us as individuals? What is Jesus' heart for us as a community? What is Jesus' heart for your family, for your workplace? What is the heart for this community? We need to be wrestling and focused on Jesus. You know, Dave always talks about the vision of Fountain Vineyard is Jesus. to know Jesus and to make him known. And it sounds so simple, but it's so true. Because if we focused on Jesus, he will direct us. If he is head of the church, he will lead us. He will guide us. All of us will be speaking the same language. You see, when God gives Dave a bit of the vision, then he gives Josh, he gives me, he gives Dave Skevington, he gives the elders, he gives every single person a little piece of the vision. And together, all of a sudden, it's wow. Church is never meant to be about one person doing everything. It was never meant to be about one person having all the revelation. It's about Jesus being the head and everyone else being Christ-focused, focusing, listening to the head, listening to the voice of God, and moving in that direction. That is what church is meant to be about. So the first thing is, let's not be distracted by other things. It's amazing how many people will have arguments about vaccines, we'll have arguments about that, but is it really necessary? If we focus on Jesus, and we're fulfilling his plan, his call, let's talk about when we get together. Let's not talk about anti-vax and pro-vax. Let's talk about how many people we came to know that came to know Jesus this week. Let's talk about, you know what? I've had this incredible discipleship group. I've got these young guys that are walking closer with Jesus every day. I've connected with this one and this one and this one. I'm feeling so much more connected to people. I'm feeling so much more connected to Jesus. Those are the things that matter. But the devil distracts us. He distracts us onto all sorts of garbage on social media. And we begin to go down a rabbit hole down here and a rabbit hole down there. And it's easy. It can be sport. It can be different facts of the day. It can be news articles. It can be what's happening in Afghanistan and what's happening in America, what's happening. And it's easy. And the devil uses those things to distract us and take our eyes off Jesus. I'm not saying we don't need to know what's going on. We need to be knowing what's in the world and praying. That's what we need to be doing as believers. Focus on Jesus, the gospel. You see, because it's the gospel, it's Jesus that begins to change lives. When we preach the goodness of God, the goodness of Jesus, people's hearts begin to come to repentance. What did Jesus do? Well, he told people, repent and believe. Be baptized. Be filled with the Spirit. People that you're encountering, are you taking that? Say, guys, repent. Come to know my Savior. Come to know His goodness. And then I want to walk out this journey with you. I don't want to leave you alone. I want to walk with you. I want to show you Jesus. I want to show you what He's done in my life. And let me take you to the Word. Let me take you and see what Jesus did, how Jesus changed people's hearts and lives. That is what it's about. The second point about a healthy church is that it displays the effects of grace. It displays the effects of grace. In verse 23 of that passage, it says,
let me just get to the 11 again. I will get there, I promise you. Somebody got it up.
When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done. At that stage, the disciples, they were reaching out to Jews only. And then all of a sudden, some guys decided to go and they were preaching to the Greeks. And all of a sudden, when they heard about this, the people were in panic. Oh, no. Just imagine the pastors. We hear Simon's preaching at work and the Spirit of God, and things are happening. No, Simon, you can't do that. And it needs a pastor. And I go to Simon's work, and all of a sudden you get there and you see the grace of God at work. That's where we take the step back and go, God is bigger than one individual or one set of rules or one set of something. You see, we as a body need to understand where God's grace is impacting our lives. And it's so funny, in the church, many of us, people often talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. You know, we need to be active in the gifts. I would like to see more people talk about the fruit of the Spirit. You see, because as we look at, when we start seeing grace, we will start seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a Spirit that produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As believers and as a church, we need to be seeing these characteristics in our lives. We can all follow a bunch of laws and regulations and rules. We can all follow a religion. But it's these things in our life that are changing us from the inside. It's the Christ-centeredness in our lives. These things become an outflow. Donald Gray Barnhouse writes, "Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins." Are we prepared to let go and say, "Jesus, Jesus, do it"? So a healthy church displays the effects of grace. It does this by seeing the fruit in their lives. As we look around, we see and how we can encourage each other and grow in these areas. The second part of the grace is their devotion to fellowship. They were devoted to one another. Karen and I were listening to a podcast the other day, and I loved what the guy said. He said in their church, they no longer talk about members. Because once you talk about a member, once you become a member of a gym, there's an entitlement to that. Well, I pay this, therefore I need to have this. And in their church, they talk about partners. Because once you partner something, you invested into it. You're responsible to it. You're committed to it. Because you have buy-in. And I would love us to realize that we partners, isn't it? Like, there's like a real family in that. We buy into what we're doing, and we're saying, you know what, I want to be a partner of this. I was chatting to someone, I don't know if it was Maria and Dave Greer the other day. It could have been them. If it wasn't them, sorry, guys. But we were talking about, say, for example, a church like for Fountain, 400, 500 people. Imagine if every single person was committed to serving in one area. Every single person did one thing. Just one. Do you know what a powerful body of Christ this would be? One thing. If we prepare to sow and say, "God, I want to find that one thing that I'm on. What grace is on my life to do that one thing? And I'm committed to this fellowship to do this one thing." I'm not talking about connecting, like in small groups. I'm not talking about fellowship in a broader context. If we go back to Acts chapter 2, those guys, they went to the temple every day. We moan about once a week. We moan about one connecting on a Sunday once a week. We moan about one connection group in a week because our life is busy. Yes, it is, but what are priorities? Find one thing that God has got grace on your life to do. And do it. Partner with us to do that one thing. Find it. Wrestle with God until you know it, that God is on you for this. Be committed to groups of friends in whatever, if you are scared of house churches or you're not sure. We believe it's God's heart. And I'm committed to people connecting in smaller groups and whatever those shapes and sizes those things can look at. But I can't force anyone. I can't say to Simon, you have to go to a group. You have to. I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but if it doesn't come from within, and because you realize that when Jesus committed, he had the group of his best friend, he had a group of 3, he had a group of 12, he had a group of 77, he had thousands. He's given us a model. Find how you connect, where you connect, and connect. Don't do it because I tell you, or Dave tells you, whoever Johnny tells you. Do it because Jesus instructs us to do these things. Jesus modeled everything we need to do in our lives. That's what I'm saying. If you're not sure about what you need to do, go back to the Gospels and focus on him. And he gives you the life and the thing that we need to do. He wasn't confused. He knew exactly. He said, I've come to give you life and life in the full, to the full. So if you're unsure, take it up with him. Go read it and suss it out with him. We need him and we need one another. That's how he ordained it. It's a lot easier to do things ourselves. Come on, we know that. Some things. But we are called to be a body of believers. We are called into fellowship with one another. We are called to be partners with one another. Families, sons and daughters. The inheritance that God gives us is here. Are you prepared to walk in that? What grace is on your life right now? What is God saying to you? Johnny, I'm calling you for this. I'm calling you into this community for this. The third one we see in both passages is that God calls us, and he wants a healthy church, to be generous. We look at both contexts, there were needs. You know, we've been talking about our mercy needs and mercy offerings and stuff, and it's been amazing how people have stepped up. And that's what we call to be as a healthy church. We call to be openly looking and seeing. And not everything has to come through here. Not everything has to be put in here. Again, it goes back to what is God doing around you? And if you see a need and you can assist that need, do it. And I'm making it sound quite simple, but I think it is. Look and see at the needs. They were in Acts chapter 2, we see the guys, they were prepared to sell everything. I'm not saying you have to go and sell your house and sell everything. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying, be open to what God is saying to you. Be open to what needs you see and you feel God's given you grace to help with. The churches in Antioch, even though Jerusalem, there was a famine because of a prophetic word, they began to gather stuff and they sent food there and they sent stuff there because there was a need. As God begins to do more and more in us and he begins to pour out stuff for us, we are so blessed by worship, guys. So what does God say to Fountain Vineyard? Guys, give it away. And that's Madden Charnay's heart as they lead not only Fountain, but Vineyard South Africa. God's blessed us. How can we give it away? God's blessed us with leadership. A guy like Dave. So what does God say? He says, okay, well, there, become national director. So Dave says, you know what? I can only lead like I am. So therefore, like I lead Fountain, I'm going to lead the nation. Give it away. Whatever God's is, the grace is on your life, give it away. If you are good at something, give it away. But you have to be doing something to give it away. You have to be active. You have to be following and listening to God and Christ and saying, what do I need to do? And if each of us are doing that thing, guess what? We're a healthy church. It's not about ticking boxes, but it's about a lifestyle of being healthy. It's a healthy lifestyle where we as this body and as individuals are able to make a difference. And if you're not sure about that, just go read what Jesus says to you and tells you to do. Point number 4.
And the last one. A healthy church and healthy Christians are missional. Don't get so many amens when you talk about mission. A healthy church and healthy Christians are missional. I'm not saying you have to be traveling the world, but is your heart for the lost? Is your heart for your neighbor, for the person you cross past in a spa or Pick and Pay or something like that? Is your heart for people that irritate you? Is your heart for people that make you angry? Is your heart for other nations that you might not be able to go to, but you're prepared to sow into and grow and say, I'm prepared to bless someone else to go? Are your hearts open to praying for circumstances and situations? I have this discussion with God every single morning, driving up, Target Kloof, 8th Avenue, and Buffelsfontein, coming to work with taxis flying all around me. I think a taxi is my thorn in the flesh. But it's so easy just to change our heart and harden our heart towards the situations and things instead of saying, God, you actually want them in your kingdom. You see, in this context and in these things, the Christians were doing what Jesus wanted. They were meeting together. They were gathering together. They were devoted to the teachings about Jesus. They were devoted to the apostles' thing. And the outflow of that is that they impacted society around them, and they had favor with God, and they had favor with all men. And all ladies too, all people. You see, when our heart is in the right place, all of a sudden, we are accessible to people around us. And when people look at us and they go, I want some of that. I'm struggling with that. I want that. The Jerusalem church sent Barnabas to go have a look, and they saw what God was doing. And then all of a sudden, he went to go fetch Saul and Paul and said, come back, come have a look. And then they begin to, and that's how the church exploded. As they sent Paul and Barnabas. And we as people need to be going. Look for opportunities. We've got places we're going to go. We're going to be going to Jeffreys Bay on a more once a month basis for preachers to go there. We go to the River Vineyard once a month. The guys that have gone to King Williamstown, we go to Hogsback. These are places that we go that are local. Find out when we go. We often talk about it and we announce it. Say, hey, Gav, I want to come with you to the river next time you preach. I want to be a part of being missional. I want to go. Hey, Gav, you're going to Ivory Coast and Ghana. I want to go with you. I'm going to Malawi. I want to go with you. You know what? I'm going to my workplace tomorrow. God, I want to go with you. Not just go to work. I want to go with you to be a mission. I want to see the mission in my workplace. I want to see the mission in my household. I want to see the mission in my extended family. Are you seeing what God is doing and carry his heart for mission? That's a fancy way of saying God loves the lost just as much as he loves you. God loves the hurt and the broken just as much as he loves you. And I guarantee you, if he was here, he would not just be sitting in a meeting, but he would be gathering together with these people, and then he would be out there. He made time for the lost and the outcast. People's homes that the Pharisees and the religious people wouldn't go near, Jesus went to their homes. It's easy to point fingers at the Pharisees in the Bible, but we are often Pharisees and religious, so religious in our times. And we lose out in the heart of mission for Jesus because we judge before we go. God's not asking us to judge. He's saying, go and let me do what I need to do. He chooses to use us. He doesn't need us. He chooses. And it's a privilege and a gift for us because he knows we need it. We need it for our growth. So a healthy church is focused on Jesus and the gospel. A healthy church carries the effects of grace. A healthy church is generous. And a healthy church is missional. Carries the heart of God for the lost. So I've said quite a lot of things this morning. And it's really for us as a church. I know we as pastors talk about these things all the time and we want to create opportunities for people. But we can't force anyone to do anything. And the challenge is for each person in a body, in a church, and it's across the world, across every church. Find the one thing God is on you to do and do that. Do that. Is Sharnay around? I wanted to sing that one song, we can close. But I guess she's probably feeding Rachel. Let's stand together. Yes, she comes. What a champion. I pray, and then we can respond to the word. There's been the words from Monica. There's been the words from Maria. The word from Dean. God's speaking to us this morning as believers. And as we worship together, just how do you need to respond? How do you want to respond to Jesus? What's God saying to you? That is the question that you can ask. So let's just close, if you want to close your eyes. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are such a good, good God. We thank you that your heart is for us. We thank you that you call us into this body of believers at Fountain. You call us into the vineyard across this nation and continent and world. We thank you that you invite us to participate in what you are doing. So come, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal the grace that's on each and every single one of our lives, Lord. Help us to step out and do that one thing. Help us to be open to what you're doing around us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. Thank you for people's hearts and lives that have been touched and impacted. But Lord, we invite you for more and ask you for more. More, Lord, just more of you.
Yeah, guys, God's been so gracious and present with us this morning, just the words he shared. And I felt the Lord say, just to reflect on Maria's word about the scars and Monica's work about the word about deep reaching out to deep and pain to pain. And I just felt the Lord say that the degree to which we let go is the degree to which he can come and minister to us. And the more we let go to him, the more he can come in. So I just want to encourage us, as Shanae leads us in worship this morning, to don't be afraid of the mess. Don't be afraid of the pain, if that's there. Let that go and let God come and bring healing and restoration. And to know that God's restoration is not to restore you back to the place where you were. It's to restore you beyond where you were. God's restoration is full and it's complete. And it goes beyond anything you can ever imagine. So yield to that and yield to him. Because he gives us grace to deal with that deep hurt and that deep pain. He can identify with it. And then on the other hand to that, Gab spoke about us being ministers to one another. And where there's grace on your life to do that, do that. And so this morning, as we in separate rooms, as God ministers and as he comes, if he speaks to you about praying for someone who's next to you and there's no pastor or no elder in that room, do it. Allow God to work in and through us. We are the controllers and the limiters to what God does in and through our lives. So Lord, come. Help us to yield in humility before you today. And to stand in your grace, whether it's to receive or whether it's to give. Thank you.
Here.
glorify your name, Lord. Lord, we ask for your empowering this morning upon every single person here this morning, in the rooms, listening online. Lord, that you would empower them. You would empower them to glorify your name, Lord. That you would empower us. Empower us to go and just to serve, Lord. To focus on you and to see what you're doing and participate with you, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you that you've been with us. Amen. 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 Thank you all. God bless you. Thank you for those online joining us. Thank you in the other rooms. Remember, if you're a visitor, please come introduce yourself to me. It'll be great. Enjoy your Sunday and your week ahead, and look forward to seeing some of you during conference. That'll be awesome. Thank you. God bless.